going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know, we got a lot of guys grinding offensively. Gun there in the ninth inning, get a leadoff single, a hustle single. Westy, who's been, you know, having a tough couple of weeks, you know, a triple off Lopey there in the right field corner, a great piece of hitting. You know, unfortunately, Rutch has a great piece of hitting and lines out. Guy makes a great play up the middle. So the breaks are kind of hard to come by right now a little bit. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We just got to continue to play that way.
That was manager Brandon Hyde. Following the Orioles' loss last night, 4-3 to the Nats. O's 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. 12 runners left on base. And we take up for Brandon Hyde a bit where, hey, this isn't his roster. He didn't assemble this roster. Who knows how much control he does have over the lineup. But the moral victory talk there is... This isn't 2019. This isn't the rebuild where you're dealing with quadruple A players. We don't need moral victory talk after another loss.
And these players have already been coddled and enabled and fed a lot of BS and told how great they are by the front office that doesn't know what it's doing. They don't need the field general now making excuses for them as well. They're facing a Nats team that has been god-awful for most of the year, that hadn't gotten a clutch hit in a week outside of James Wood, that had all kinds of issues. They're facing the worst bullpen in the major leagues, and it's not even close. And there's a lot of bad bullpens. And I don't want to hear about woulda, coulda, shouldas. When you had an embarrassing loss Sunday, a day off Monday, you came out flat and got absolutely embarrassed by these guys in the first game, and then you showed a little bit of life in the second game, and I'm supposed to give you smoochy boochies? Get that garbage out of here. I thought this was liftoff. It should be beneath all of us. The bottom line is they faced one of the most hittable garbage starters in Major League Baseball last night. And yeah, they ran his pitch count up. But when they needed somebody to move the chain, it didn't happen. And they still are a feast or famine offense. And they still generally don't score unless they hit home runs. And since July 1st of last season, okay, we're talking almost 4,000 plate appearances. Since July 1st of last season, with runners in scoring position, the Orioles are 27th in OPS, 24th in slug, 24th in home runs, 23rd in RBIs, and 25th in on-base percentage. This is not a blip. This is not bad luck. This is who they are. This is how they were built by a bunch of clowns.
And their numbers specifically this year with runners in scoring position, 25th in batting average, 22nd in on-base, 21st in OPS, all with runners in scoring position. And a number that we looked at, last week during TMI about how this team just can't come from behind, they're still 28th in OPS when trailing in ball games.
When they score three runs or less, I ran those numbers last week, when they score three runs or less, going back to the start of last season, they're bottom three in Major League Baseball in win percentage. I mean, they're there with the White Sox and like the Twins. It's, again, it should be beneath them. It's embarrassing. It should be shameful, but I don't know that there's a lot of shame. Take runnings and scoring position out of the equation. Since July 1st last season, the Orioles have a 312 on base percentage. Okay? That's pathetic. That's 17th in baseball. It's pathetic. And they're 15th in OPS since last July. So, again, that's over 100-game sample size. They're barely league average in OPS. This great lineup, this vaulted lineup, this hitting incubator where they turn everybody into a slugger. And, like, here's what's really grinding my gears these days. They preach that they're smarter than everybody else and they know when to call guys up. And we thought Adley should be here and we thought Gunnar should be here and we thought Gracian should be here. And they said, no, you don't know. We know better. And why did they say they know better?
Because when they come up, they're going to play. They're going to be ready.
They're going to be ready to play Major League Baseball, right? They're going to be ready to help our baseball team in real time, at the plate and in the field. But we got the manager talking about, well, we can't get out of slumps because we're a bunch of babies and we're really young. And we don't know how to field our positions because when we don't hit and we're young, we also don't field. They couldn't turn Heston Kjerstad in 5 years into even a below average major league outfielder. They didn't take the time to try to turn Jackson Holliday into a second baseman, and he's still a ways away from being even a league average second baseman. But we have to watch this slop every night. They sold us that we're going to have guys who know their strengths and weaknesses in the batter's box, who don't chase, who don't give away at-bats, and on-base percentage is going to be our lifeblood, and that's why we won't have slumps. And I just told you, since July 1st of last year, almost 4,000 plate appearances. They've got a 312 on base percentage and one of the lowest walk rates in the league. So who's full of crap, me or them?
Well, and look at the big offseason acquisition that came up in a big time spot with Tyler O'Neill last night, where the Orioles are trailing 3-1. O'Neill comes to the plate. There's one out. He hit a sack fly, but you look at O'Neill's.
He needs to get the hell out of the lineup.
You brought him in because he mashes lefties. And right now, he is 2-for-21 against left-handed pitching, 11 strikeouts. And it just, he's not producing.
He can't play baseball. He occasionally hits the ball hard. He's not a baseball player. He cannot move. He cannot run. He cannot play the outfield. He's supposedly the gold glove guy. They don't even dare put him in left field. They make Heston deal with that crap. Look.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
But let you in on a couple theories. They play, for a young team, they play listless, lifeless baseball. They were put together by a listless, lifeless GM. They never have a sense of urgency or any sort of gear to switch from third to fourth to fifth, like today matters more than yesterday, because the GM never thinks today matters. 2027, 2028. Our long-term plans, that's all that ever matters. They take their cues from the people who decide how much they make and when they make it. And I'll let you in on another little secret. Does it seem like they play for themselves or they play for the team? Do they play for their stats or do they play for the team stats in these clutch situations? And if you're watching what I'm watching, which is they're trying to play for their stats, maybe that's because they know they'll never get paid here. So what I accumulate here will help me get paid somewhere else because we don't take care of our own. We keep kids in the AAA for 3 or 4 years because we don't have a plan for them. We let the baseball gods sort everything out and we don't pay anybody. We don't extend anybody. Hell, we don't even pay people multi-year deals from other organizations. So maybe that's why their at-bats don't look like some of these other teams' at-bats when everything's on the line. Because maybe there's not a real sense of I'm going to be an Oriole anytime past when my arbitration runs out. And I'll probably be traded before that.
We're going to get back into the Orioles next hour. We're going to get back into the Ravens draft at 3:30. Could the Ravens prioritize their secondary? over pass rush if everything is equal at pick 27. But coming up next, it's league at large, and it is the one and only Jason LaCanfora mock draft. What sticks out the most to me, Beltway Ben Hall? What are some betting angles that maybe Jason could give you an advantage with? We'll tell you next on The Fan.